Well, welcome to Midweek Matinee this week. What number are we on, Brett? 28?
9.
28.
29. Wait, sorry, yes, 29.
29, I knew it.
Yeah, you got it, you had it.
This week we're discussing the film Irreversible, which unfortunately, once you watch it, you can't take back that time and get it out of your mind, and it's stuck there forever, so the name is
fitting.
That
was one of my jokes. Fuck. But it's also low-hanging fruit.
Yes, it very much is. So how you doing this week, Brett?
I'm doing okay. Your boy, I have to shamelessly plug myself. Your boy released his first single and music video for my new music project. So if you're listening to this, go check out Absideon, A-B-S-I-D-E-O-N. I hate naming bands, so don't ask me how it happened. It just happened, and I bore witness. But
it works,
go check
though,
that
like
out.
It.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I've put so much time and effort into it that it's kept me from doing almost anything but that until this week. So,
yeah, you haven't even watched any of the movies for the last 3 weeks. You've just been reading the Cliff Notes.
Exactly. I just picked up the back of the DVD at the Walmart and said, oh, fuck, that's probably close enough.
Oh, I just imagine like someone picking up Irreversible out of the $3 bin at Walmart. Oh.
What is the blurb on the back of that DVD case?
I don't know. That's actually a good question.
Don't watch it.
It'd be in French, so you couldn't fucking read it anyway.
That's
Do not
true.
Watch the movie.
How about you, Chris? How you doing this week, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Of course. No one ever asked the host.
I know. It's so true. Every third week, I'm very disappointed that no one asked me. And then the other two weeks, I don't ask y'all, so whatever.
Yeah.
The host is just a third wheel.
So I guess we can go. I should have asked this at the same time, but Brett, what did you think of the movie this week, Irreversible?
It's okay that you didn't ask it at the same time. This is going to be an interesting discussion, partially because I guess we can kind of break, you know, the illusion and say that we had kind of like a discussion behind the scenes of how we wanted to approach this episode, because we all three, I think, have varying experiences with the movie. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just walk you through this. This is my basic mindset that happened with the movie. I put it on, and I'd made the joke earlier in the day that I had to watch some dumb French movie because of Blake, and my wife was laughing about it. So I put it on, and at first I was just joking, right? And then like the first 10 minutes go by and nothing makes any goddamn sense.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Blake really did choose a fucking stupid French movie.
To be fair, maybe I missed it, but the first 10 minutes still don't make any sense, right? Maybe not 10, but like nope. First 3 or 4 minutes of those two guys talking.
Oh yeah, that makes zero sense. The rest of the movie, thankfully, does come into play. But
yeah, what the fuck? Okay, sorry, Brett. Never mind. I'll let you finish first.
Yeah, you can go on your tirade here in a minute. I promise. But yeah, so as I was kind of watching and coming to grips with, like, okay, let me try and understand what the hell this movie's doing. Because is it trying to say something? Is it trying to be anything other than disorienting and hyper stylized? And I had this moment where I was kind of like, you know, not even against Blake, but I feel like some point in the episode I'm going to have to ask him, like, no judgment, nothing about it, just what is it about French media, like French cinema, that draws you to it? Because you have on multiple occasions now chosen French cinema,
just so twice for the podcast, correct?
Yes, but I guess I should say for the podcast, but I know that you've watched a lot of French cinema outside of this.
I'm just saying, I Blake, for an American podcast, it's probably far too many.
So it's funny because I actually haven't watched a whole lot of like French cinema. I've maybe seen
like 10.
But you've
watched enough to tickle your interest.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. I'm interested in, you know, that area of movies or whatever, and I'm working my way through a lot of the stuff, like a lot of the older stuff, especially thanks to like the Criterion Channel app and just the Criterion Blu-rays and stuff. So I'm definitely interested in it, but it's not something like as often as I picked it for how few episodes we've done. It's not really like a majority of my movie watching.
Yeah, no, for sure. Though I do notice that you tend to pick things on Now, this movie's not, but you tend to pick things on the more outer scale or the outer side of things. And what I really mean by that is it's not a bad thing at all, but when you think of a movie podcast, you have a high chance of thinking, well, it's going to end up being about a bunch of more modern movies. But we've watched a lot of movies that came out before many of us were even born.
Yes.
Yeah.
And not that that's a bad thing. I just find that most of the time when we do, it's been you. We've all chosen movies that came out before we were born. Sure. I'm fairly positive. But to me, it's one of those things where when I was watching it, it's hitting me. I was like, what is it about more fringe media, at least in the context of today, be it through age or subject matter or whatever it is, or like I shouldn't say age, like date of the film when it was released, and that kind of crossed my mind. You don't have to answer it any further, but
no,
it was
just interesting
going through my mind. That was kind of what I was thinking before I tried to give the movie a little further of a thing. So
yeah,
I finally started trying to be like, what's the click here? What's the thing? And I will say that in a very weird way, I did like the, of course it's not actually this, but I did like the attempt by the film to essentially always feel like it's a single cut or a single camera shot, even though there's clearly deceptive cuts put in there.
Yeah, for
now,
sure.
With that, that was kind of the first thing I was like, I'm going to attach to this and I'm going to see where this takes me. I think that this is interesting, definitely for what it means for the actors and how disciplined they have to be able to kind of try and pull these things off. Because while there may be hidden cuts when they're trying to transition between scenes and stuff like that to give it that flowing kind of feeling, it still means that there are very long segments of acting that have absolutely zero cutting.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at that, it's mighty impressive. So I started trying to give the movie the benefit of the doubt through that and being like, I'm going to follow this as the thing that's interesting me, that interests me, and I'm going to follow through. And then finally, I reached this point where I said to myself, I think I'm going to have to turn this movie off. And I kind of went in my mind, like, what would happen if I just didn't finish the movie? We've talked about it in the past. What would be the worst thing? And about 2 minutes after that, it kind of clicked with me. And then suddenly I was invested in the film. And by the time that the ending credits ran, I was kind of like, huh, I actually enjoyed the film. Like, I don't know that I could say I loved it because I'm still, because of the way the film is made, I'm having to process it.
Yeah. It's even hard to say you enjoy the movie, at least for me. Like, I really love that movie. Like, it's hard. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say I quote-unquote enjoy it just because of the subject matter, but I very much liked it as well.
Well, but it's an experience, and I think it's important to be able to say, like, hey, here's an experience, and I liked this aspect of the experience, or I liked the experience as a whole, even if it's about something that's uncomfortable. And the reason you liked it is because it just resonated with you somehow, some way by the end.
Yeah, and the long-cut stuff, I think it's like the director's staple. I've only seen one of his other movies, Climax, which is a very recent movie, but it's in that as well. He has some very long cuts in that one as well.
Well, like, as far as I know, I think my very first introduction to, you know, no cuts, essentially a single camera frame until the end. Of course, typically there's some kind of deceptive stuff, but the idea to look single shot, but was a music video from a band, I the Mighty, and they're doing the whole music video, and then I think there's something weird about it where it's like done, interestingly enough, I think it's done in reverse.
Oh, okay.
But with it being, it's kind of weird. But either way, that was the first time I'd ever really seen it. Clearly, it's been a concept for a long time. And then I thought that was really cool. And then whenever God of War on the PS4, whenever they were talking about wanting to do a single cut camera and that was something that the director, Corey Barlog, had wanted to do for a long time. And then I finally played it. I was like, that was sick. I love that. Like, it's unique. And I guess I don't want more games to do it because I don't want it to become not unique anymore. But now watching this, again, it is something that can be latched onto. And once you start paying attention to that aspect, it's like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
and
I'm a sucker for it.
Kind of makes me want to watch 1917, or isn't that the movie?
Yeah, that's what I was about to mention. That whole movie, there's only one spot in that movie where the screen goes like full black.
Mm.
Like the rest of it, you can kind of see where, like, oh, they walked through this doorway and it got kind of dark for a second. I bet that's where they cut. but it feels like it's just like, oh, here's just, you know, 2 hours or so of this guy's life, basically.
Yeah, sure.
Give or take, you know. Yeah, it's done really well in that one as well.
But that's about it for me. I'm gonna let you. I'm gonna let you get on to Chris.
Yeah. So I was about to say, go ahead, Chris.
Well,
how did you like this movie?
I thought this movie was a straight up abortion. Like, that's the nicest way I can talk about this movie. I hated everything about it. On top of the fact that it made me feel like shit. But that is why Brett kind of introduced it that way, because I straight up just didn't finish the movie. I got halfway. I think I was telling Blake the story before the movie started, where I got halfway through the rape scene after I was talking to you guys about how I didn't want to finish the movie, and I started to fast forward because I was going to push through it, and I started to fast forward, and then I kept fast forwarding, then I continued to fast forward,
yeah,
and then I was still fast forwarding, and this girl was still getting raped, and I was like, yeah, I'm not finishing this.
Yeah, I don't really blame you.
Yeah.
The one thing I will mention, kind of like me and you talked about it a little bit before Brett hopped on. After that, it's a very different movie.
It's amazing.
I don't know. I don't
like. You got through everything that was hard to get through. So no, yeah, I get. Like, I don't blame you. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you should have finished it. If it made you sick, don't watch it. But it was definitely different after that.
No, I believe it. It was more just like, I was ready to stop, you know?
Yeah.
Because I wasn't feeling well, and I didn't like the movie. Like, I genuinely, like, before I started to feel like shit, I was kind of like, if I didn't have to watch this movie, I wouldn't watch it. I would have stopped by now.
Sure.
And then I started to feel like shit because this man doesn't know how to hold a camera. And
I think the opposite, dude.
It's a roller coaster.
Dude,
I love the camera work in this movie.
How? The camera work feels like they put a camera inside a washing machine and then put that on a trolley and just whipped it around the entire thing.
It's
it was
very
incoherent.
Intentional for the themes in this movie, I believe.
That doesn't make it good.
I'm not saying like you have to like it now because it's intentional. I think that's partly why I like it, though, personally. Okay. Obviously, if you don't like it, you don't like it. Like, whatever, but...
Yeah.
What's more interesting, Chris, about that is I thought the same thing. I was like, it's a little overdone. Like, I get what they're going for, but it's too much. Like, there's early on when it kind of like the camera's doing its thing and then it starts to kind of pan over everything and you're seeing these overhead shots of, like, all the cop cars and as they're weaving through in the city. I was like, that's actually cool.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's like it starts to kind of masturbate in its own ridiculousness of like, how many swirls can we get in one moment?
Yeah.
And it gets over the top. But what's really interesting is that, like, after the rape scene, the movie almost doesn't do that at all.
Yeah. Like, it's very
but
much
it's still
in line with the mood that the movie is trying to portray. It's hectic and it's crazy. Like in the beginning, right? Like when it's going crazy, it's a hectic and crazy moment.
Yeah.
So the thing we've not talked about yet, right? Which I actually think is to the movie's credit, because once it went back and it immediately clicked with me what was going on, I was like, oh, okay. It's called Irreversible, but the movie is not shot in reverse, but it's edited to where you are getting the story in chronological order backwards. Like, you're watching it play out in real time, but then at the end of that scene is when it shifts back in time.
Right.
So you're watching these order of events play out. And I actually thought that was an interesting idea.
It's
and
almost,
that actually kind of helped me come to terms. Like, that was one of the other things that I could kind of latch onto before the movie clicked that I appreciate. Like, that I was like, that's cool. I appreciate that. Let's keep watching and see what they do with it.
Yeah, and it's almost like they found a phone or a camera with a bunch of videos and then put them together with the weird like movement in between scenes. Because like you said, it's not like a story in reverse. It's like segments of a story like clipped together backwards.
Yes. Yeah. It's like found footage, but instead of like, they, for some reason, they just started editing at the end first and just did that whole section, put some whirly whirl loop-de-loops in there, and then edited the next section.
I do think, too, backwards element of the entire story is needed, I don't think the movie would have been good forwards. I think it would have been, oh, let's watch these two people who are in love, and then there's a violent rape, and then a brutal beating, and then it's over. Like, it would have been almost like they used the rape for, like, shock value instead of, with it being reversed, it didn't feel like that to me. It was obviously a very shocking scene. Like, I'm not saying the scene wasn't awful to watch, but I think it had a different tone. Does that make sense?
Well, I think no. Because you're framing the moment different, because, okay, the rape scene is a really important thing that clearly I understand is a hard part to watch, but there's a lot of stuff that comes to that and the movie's insistence on staying there. So it's a really interesting choice, and it's one of those things where it's like clearly the director being like, hey, this is an uncomfortable moment. And instead of running from it, you're going to have to exist in this uncomfortable moment because it's part of the story that I'm telling. And this is also something that can just really happen. And the reason I kind of view it that way is like when they're talking about the movie and when you're seeing it go down and you're seeing the police talking to them and they're saying like, you know, you never think it can be you, but that right. can happen to you. And it's kind of like the movie being like, hey, let's break the fourth wall for a second and be like, hey, this is something that happens every day that people just don't think about. And, you know, we're led to believe that it happens definitely often in the area in which the movie is set to take place in.
Yeah.
So, but watching it in backwards, it kind of has this thing where I get what you mean because it kind of feels like you're finally getting pieces of a puzzle that's being given to you. You frame it differently, and you don't look at it as what it maybe could have looked like. I will go ahead and say, though, I don't know that the movie couldn't have worked in front order. It would have been less novel, less interesting. I don't think in a bad way. Like, it still would have been a story that made sense. It's you know, but then it becomes more of an expected revenge story instead of giving it to you in this part where the revenge is already unfolding and you're working in backwards to understand what the crux of the revenge was.
But I think that if it was in the opposite order, it wouldn't have been so much of a revenge story because the rape would happen so late. I think, you know, after the rape, there's like another hour of the movie, like 50 minutes or so, mm-hmm. where you're kind of left to just like stew in the thoughts of like what happened and then watch.
Is it? I felt like the rape scene was kind of, I mean, it's weird. It kind of felt like it was like two-thirds in.
Well, a lot of
like, there's 50 minutes left because that's where I stopped.
Interesting. And so that, well, I guess that would be, that's about halfway through because the movie's an hour and a half. Mm. And so that's a little over an hour. It's an hour and 33 minutes. So yeah. That's roughly 45 minutes in that it happens.
Okay. So it's farther in than I remember, but I think I watched it Saturday. But yeah, so I don't know. I just, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if I watched it in the other order, it would punch the same and not feel like exploitation like I think it would. Does that make sense?
I guess I don't
feel like it was exploitative regardless of it, because the problem, and this is the thing I want to make clear, is like I don't know, this is probably going to sound really bad actually, but like I don't necessarily have a problem with the scene. I have a problem with how long the scene was and how almost,
sure,
I don't know if uncensored is the right word, but they pulled no punches to the point where that it was exploitative no matter what, because it wouldn't surprise me if you showed this to a rape survivor and they got PTSD
because absolutely
it was fucking 10 minutes. It was too long. So I don't think there's, I don't mean to call you out or anything, but there's just, I don't think there's any way in any scenario that this scene isn't exploitative, whether it's reversed in the beginning and the end, unless it's maybe 5 minutes, not even if it's too, it's just, there's no way that that's not exploitative. Cause like, I don't mind this stuff. Sure. Like I don't, like I was telling you before, before they killed Watch People Die on Reddit, I used to be on that thing all the time. That stuff doesn't bother me. I'm a little desensitized to it. But like this was just too much, on top of the fact that I was already feeling like shit
because of the
washing machine camera and the fact that I just didn't like what was happening. I wasn't enjoying what I was watching. But like at that point, that was where I was like, okay, this is it. I'm done. There's nothing else good to watch in this movie. And so, the fact that you're telling me that it basically becomes a romance afterwards almost makes it worse, because that to me is like, I don't know. I don't really know the best analogy for it, but it would be, it's just, well, I don't know. But
the second half of the movie is almost all about sex or showing sex. And the ex-boyfriend at one point mentions, like, why does he let you out in public dressed like that? Don't people stare at you, or something like that? Do you know what I'm talking about, Brett, at the party?
Yeah, no, there's actually, I don't know, it's not that controlling. When you say it that flat, it super controlling. But yeah, it's more of like a friendly, it's interesting, because those scenes actually show a lot in regards to kind of setting up this situation of like, oh, okay. Like, you understand more of what the relationship between these people we've been following are, why he would ultimately do what he did, because, you know, at the beginning you see him smash that guy's face in.
So,
and you go, well, what would lead him to do that? Because at first we're kind of led to believe that it's almost like he's supporting his friend but trying to keep his friend from going crazy at the same time. But then as we go and see it, it's like all along he really still loved this girl.
Yeah.
So when he finally had the opportunity and saw, like, yeah, he ended up helping Marcus, but at the same time he was able to kind of fulfill his own fantasy of getting revenge because of what they did to someone he loved. And it's, I think, so to go back to the order situation, right, of like how it's presented to you from an order, I think, and it doesn't solve for Chris the length of the rape scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a simple re-edit, not even a re-edit, a simple watching this movie, if someone had set it up to where you could click, and when this section was done, you'd click and you could essentially watch it in sequential order without having to do any real re-editing, just watching it curated, essentially. I think that the problem the movie had is that, and I don't know if it seems like it's almost an intentional thing to make the viewer uncomfortable, but the movie, the way it's given to you, invites you to want to turn it off early because it just feels too much. Like, it feels like you're just watching chaos. And whenever you finish the movie, you understand that, but it invites you to back out of the movie before you get to understand what you're fully seeing. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. It makes it a more interesting watch when you finally do get done with it, but most people won't finish it, I feel like, because of the way that it's presented. Whereas if you had watched it, so Chris, I'm assuming you understand the basic principle of what happens afterwards, yes?
Yeah, them being falling in love or whatever.
It's kind of like just
they're already
interesting
in love.
Relationship stuff. But yeah, you get to kind of see them being in love, and she finds out she's pregnant before, you know, so it's like, it's interesting. It adds to the rape scene afterwards. It's like, oh man, it's like everything was kind of going well for her, but we're watching her life fall apart in reverse. So when you see it this way, I think where Blake says he didn't think it worked that way, I actually think, and I could be wrong, but let's just kind of throw it out there, right? Do you think you would have been more willing to finish watching the movie if the entire movie to begin with was them setting up these three characters, these two characters, the situation, finding out they're pregnant, going through, meeting up with their friend, learning about this weird triangle they have where it's like, clearly this guy still loves this girl who is in a relationship with someone else, going through, they're at a party, there's clearly some stuff going on, then she leaves the party, is told that she probably doesn't need to go alone because it's not safe, and then bam, then the rape scene happens. I feel like at that point, the movie has done enough to invest you in the characters because it's taken an approach that's slower and it's going to be something that the average viewer would be able to actually latch onto instead of the chaos that the movie at the beginning chooses to throw you into, where you have very little to latch onto outside of either really just wanting to eventually figure out what happens or just being interested in the fact that there's no cut camera like me. Like, I had to find things and reasons to keep watching.
I mean, I want to say yes, because that just sounds more interesting to me. But I
think so too. I mean,
but I can't say yes because I didn't see the last half. Sure, so exactly. I think it would be disingenuous for me to say, yeah, that would be better.
I should say on that, as an idea, doesn't
that
it kind
sounds
of tickle?
More tragic to me? Where
exactly?
because at that point, because that's the thing, like, I've always, we all know that I write, and I've always had this idea of a book that is just this guy's life, and it's, you go through with this guy for like a year of his life, and then at the end he just dies in a car crash, because that's life, you know. And that's the same thing that this movie would have done. Instead, this movie started off with
the car crash.
The way it did. Yeah, it started off with the car crash, and then so you know that it's going to go badly. Instead, you see, you would have seen, oh well, they're happy and they're doing all this stuff, and then something tragic happens. Instead, something tragic happens, and then it's like, oh well, look at all the stuff that they had going on. Isn't it so sad? And I'm like, yeah, a woman being raped is sad. What do you mean?
Didn't even need the context afterwards.
You don't need to be like, oh, she was pregnant. Wasn't it so bad she got raped? No, it's pretty bad she got raped. You didn't need to like
compound on top of it.
Yeah, I didn't need a redemption arc for rape. Like, I don't understand
what. Well, it's not a redemption arc.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
That's poor wording. I get what you're trying to say, but yes.
Yeah, by the end, I felt bad for the rapist.
Oh, I just mean that you're at the end of this movie, you're trying to make the situation worse, and it's like, you don't, it doesn't need to be worse.
No, it's already worse. I can't disagree with you.
So I know that we're having this conversation, and I still feel that, but this is where the conflicting parts of me come in, because I think one of the most interesting aspects of this movie, actually, when you finally finish it again, I think the problem is that it does not invite itself well to make people want to finish it.
Yeah.
But I think when you finish it, I think, again, one of those things that's, I guess, it's about the movie, but it's not necessarily about the events of the movie directly, rather than how they're using the events of the movie in an skewed way and turning something on its head and still finding a way to make it work. So for me, what it kind of was like, they found a way to tell the story in a reverse order, but still have the beats of a story, like the basic story structure that kind of makes something work, but just flipping everything on its head. So since they chose to do it in the order they did, it's like, normally you're inciting incident kind of, well, it's weird. Like, your inciting incident would end up being the rape either way, right? In that situation, as to where things are going for the ultimate climax. But that's pretty far into the movie. So early on, you'd say, like, maybe something that sets up the wants and needs of the characters is talking about if they're okay with having a baby, her finding out she's pregnant, then going to a party, clearly choosing not to drink and do all this crazy stuff because she knows she's pregnant, but then her boyfriend's being a jackass. Like, when you go through those things, in one order, you see it as like, okay, here's the setup, here's the want and need. We get so far into the movie. Now the inciting incident happens, which leads us to the tragic end of the movie. Instead, they kind of flip everything on its head and say, like, you know, we have all the chaos at the beginning, and the inciting incident is essentially him finding and seeking out revenge.
Yeah.
Then they kind of keep going through, and they have almost like a second inciting incident in a way, but it's also kind of like a weird middle point with the rape scene, and then you end on this very odd climax, but one that still emotionally gives you kind of a gut punch of the pregnancy scene. And I think the main reason it works is because of the fact they give you so much time with the two characters before they bring that up that it becomes tragic again. Yeah. Now, of course, like Chris said, you didn't need to make it more tragic. It's clearly tragic enough. But I thought it was interesting that they were able to find a way to tell the story in reverse but still have story beats that actually make sense.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And like I said, I don't know that it would work in the other order. Like, I mean, as a movie, sure, it would work. Like, it wouldn't be like bad or whatever, but it would just feel like any other movie with like, oh, here's the tragic incident and then here's the revenge, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why it stands out, and why it almost feels like, I don't know. I think with the rape scene being so long, I don't know that it would work in the other order too. Like, again, I can't watch it in that order, so I don't know.
You said that we were watching Irreversible, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just making sure, because I, for some reason, don't remember you saying it. I was like, I hope people know what the fuck movie we're talking about.
I mentioned it in the very beginning intro.
Okay, good. Sorry. I just wanted to make sure sure that someone knew. Toy Story 2 is really interesting.
The the music in the like the gay club, I don't know what the gay bar, whatever that place is. that whole scene, that music, I was just like nodding my head. I was like, fuck yeah, I love this shit.
So that leads us to one of the funniest things I've had happen all year. And again, because it was so unexpected, right? They show you the depravity of that place and they're rolling through and you're seeing people do clearly bad things. But whenever he's running through and being like,
I mean,
where's the Tiana or whatever? And he finds the guy who's like, that's my daddy or whatever. And what made me laugh is the whole way where he's trying to get him to take him to the guy. He's like, no, just fist me. And then he's like, no, take me to Tiana. And he's like, be a lot cooler if you just fisted me instead.
Yeah.
So did y'all notice?
That shit had me rolling.
Did y'all notice about anything weird about the guy that they killed in the beginning with the fire hydrant or extinguisher?
I did not.
It was the wrong guy. The guy next to him was Tiana, was the guy that raped her.
Yes.
So they smashed in the face of the wrong guy.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, I noticed that, and I actually spent a lot of time looking during the scene where they first are in the tunnel and he comes up with whatever, the Nunez chick. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, that's... And then definitely, I had my feelings, and then definitely when he pulled out the little scent bump thing,
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, they totally killed the wrong dude.
Yeah. Which is also just like another tragic thing in the movie.
It's like the person who deserved didn't even get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, while we're talking about the scene of the person who got their head beat in with the fire extinguisher, like the first bits of that, I was like, man, this is really convincing.
Yeah.
And then as it'd go a little bit longer, there'd be some scene, like there'd be one shot, like, or, and I shouldn't say shot, but there'd be like one hit where I'd be like, that looked good. And then the next hit, I'd be like,
eh.
What the hell is that?
Yeah. Well,
I was freaking out because I could not determine. I was like, at the beginning, I was like, that looks practical, but also like there's probably some cuts or something weird in it.
Yeah. Well, then it's 2003, so they could definitely use some CGI. It wouldn't be great CGI, but with it being so dark,
there was definitely CG somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost believe it because there's certain times where I'm like, that looks so good. And then another hit would happen, and I'd be like, that looks like essentially a doll that he's actually hitting.
Yeah.
And then it hit again, and I'd be like, that looks like they're trying to CG deformation of a skull.
Yeah.
And then it hit again, and I'd be like, damn, that kind of looks like a real person getting their skull fucked up.
Yeah, I really want to... I wonder what kind of special features there are, like, a DVD, because I don't really want to watch the movie again, honestly, like, ever, but I would be interested with, like, that especially, like, how they shot that. Because I'm always interested with horror movies, like, how they pulled off some of the kills and the stunts and stuff. But... With that, and then the rape as well, the ending of the rape when he's beating her, with the extinguisher and that scene, I really liked how they basically used the camera as, like, an instrument. Like, they would follow it back and forth. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was almost like you were hitting him with the camera in a way. Like, it was... It really made it more impactful, I think, than just sitting still watching it.
Yeah. Also, sorry, Chris. I don't know what the fuck is up in my throat right now, but I'm trying so hard to not do this in the mic, but I fucked up a few times.
It's all good.
So,
but yeah, the rape scene, this is one of those interesting things, right? We were talking about, and I really just want to go back for one moment because it's pertinent to something else in the movie. Earlier, I mentioned how like one of the most interesting things about this movie was how long shots without any interruptions were, and... The performances, this is such a weird sentence to have to say, but I just feel the need to say it because I was so taken away. The rape scene was the weirdest mix of awful and amazing in the craziest sense. And the reason I say that is that it was so over the top, and I should say over the top, but like it was so gratuitous in what it chose to show and how it chose to linger and to stay there. Like Chris said, it's very long. But
and the camera
the
didn't
entire
move.
Time, exactly, it did
and
not
did not
move.
Cut or anything.
And the entire time I was watching it unfold, I was like, "This is awful." But the performances were so good, and they didn't cut at fucking all.
Yeah,
I was looking. I was like, "These actors are fucking dedicated, or someone legitimately just got raped on camera." clearly it's not the latter. I would hope so too. So it led me to this point where I was like, it's one of those things where you get twisted feelings about something because the subject matter of it is so grossly terrible. But then when you're watching it, it's like watching someone give so much to their craft that they were able to pull that entire scene off as convincing as ever with no cuts. My eyes were glued to the TV in the worst way. I could not. It was in the craziest way. The moment that made me like that really clicked the movie with me was after that, when they're kind of going through the party and you start to kind of see the life before. But that was probably the first moment where I was like, this is the first time I've legitimately not wanted to look away from the screen.
Yeah.
And it was terrible, but amazing. All it rolled in together. I don't know who any of these actors are, but holy shit.
Did y'all watch it as a family?
Yes, absolutely.
My kids loved it.
But no, seriously, we don't have to talk about the rape scene anymore. I just thought that was something I needed to say because I was taken aback by how talented,
yeah,
and at showing something so grotesque these actors were. It really blew me away.
I mean,
and like you said, the directorial backing of it, again, I think Chris kind of lands on it being too long, but and I'm not going to say that I agree or disagree. Clearly it was long on purpose, and I think it does add something to the movie. It could add something negative, it could add something, I don't want to say positive, that sounds like a weird way to frame it.
Yeah.
But yes, so but for me it was one of those things where like the directorial choices throughout all of it, and like you said at the end when he starts kicking her and you have these like the motion of the camera, which has been dead still up until this point,
yeah,
suddenly feels like very on point and like it's trying to add to the moment with like the way that it's framed, and it's like the smallest little motion, but yeah, it was really it was an incredibly shot and performed scene and just very wild.
Yeah, I feel for the actress too. I mean, even real or not, like that, Jesus, yeah, I don't know.
Well, and the reason I kind of think that, right, is like her breasts were actually getting fondled. His penis was clearly out. This movie was trying to make this as real as it possibly could. And, hey. Ugh.
Yeah, and it fucking sucked the entire time.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
I don't know. Like, we pretty much talked about the whole movie. There's not really any need to go through. Like, I don't have a favorite scene.
Same.
Are you sure?
I did really like him just running through the club, though. Like, and just asking everybody and everyone being like an asshole to him.
Dude, he's so single-minded, too. Yeah. And also, everyone being like, suck my dick.
Yeah, it was great.
Up until suddenly the guy took it up a notch. Fist me.
So
I will say, I did, during that scene, I did think it was, I don't know if funny is the right word, but I kept thinking to myself, I'm like, why do you keep letting him touch you? That man had his hand in his own ass. And you keep letting him touch you. Like, what are you doing?
Hey, it seemed like a really clean place, though.
Oh, yeah, totally. They really do some COVID-19 precautions on his asshole right before.
Just soaked it in hand sanitizer.
Just hand sanitizer.
We talked about, God, is that hand sanitizer that's sucked out of an asshole once it's pushed
exactly.
in there?
Exactly.
How else, are you gonna get
how
out,
else are you gonna get it out?
Exactly.
You ever seen that? You ever seen Jackass? Whenever he does the beer,
God,
chug,
yes,
for his butt,
it's so bad,
and then they put the plunger to his butt.
I almost throw up every time. It's awful.
And then the beard just like, once the plunger finally kind of hits, the beard just like spews out of his ass. I guess that's the other way you get it out, but it wouldn't be very clean. I mean, you'd lose a lot of
none
your
of this
hand
is clean.
Sanitizer. But more importantly,
anyway,
y'all were talking about, and I do wish that it would have come back around. It was actually one of the biggest letdowns of the movie. Was it the weird shit at the very beginning of the movie with the guys sitting on the bed?
Yeah,
I swore he was naked, but then right at the end, I was like, I think he had
like really
whitey
tighties on or some shit.
Yeah, like really poorly colored like not boxer briefs, just like briefs that you could barely see because of how he was sitting.
Yeah, it was weird. Talk about, did he say he slept with his daughter?
Yep.
What yes, the he did.
Fuck? And it never and came also, back more around. Importantly, like he said, like, what the fuck?
Hold on, though. More importantly, why the fuck was that called the Western Syndrome?
Yeah, I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, I thought of that, too.
Alabama,
he's like,
dude.
Oh, the Western Syndrome. I'm like, is this a common fucking thing that I'm unaware of?
Yeah, I don't know that many guys in America who fucked their daughters. I know a lot of porn about people who fucked their daughters, but I don't know a lot of actual human beings who do that.
Well, look,
come on down
here's
south,
the other thing,
buddy.
Right?
I'll take you around my neighborhood.
Let's assume they're in France, right? Because I have to assume that this is taking place somewhere around there. So they're in Europe. Europe is still considered West.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Fine. Whatever.
So I don't know. My thoughts exactly like, are they talking about Americans?
Maybe they're
or
not
are they
from
talking
France.
About
France.
I mean, maybe,
maybe
not.
They're immigrants. I mean, they're never explained, so we literally had no idea. It's weird.
So, but while talking about that, one of the things I actually really loved about the movie, and I like this about anything when they try and have something where it begins and ends on the same note, and it's kind of like its little slogan. I liked that the very first thing muttered of the movie is time destroys all things, and the last thing you see at the end of the movie is time destroys all things.
Yeah.
I like that. But going back to that in particular, right, it's like everything about that opening is like, it's so weird because, like you mentioned, if you look at the very first 10 minutes and the very last 10 minutes, these are not even the same movie. Like, you literally would never guess they were the same film.
Yeah.
I guess the true is inverse, too. but, like, when you're seeing all, like, it's like, hey, we're going to introduce you to our super depraved world. We're going to have these dudes talking about dudes down at this gay place, and I again, another laugh from me was them being like always stirring shit up, and then he's like in the rectum, and I thought he was making like a gay joke, and then they go down and it's actually a place called the rectum. I yeah. fucking died.
It's such a funny name for a gay porn bar. Like, I fucking love it. It's genius.
But yeah, so that was funny. But every bit of the setup for there was like him talking about doing depraved stuff, the guy sitting beside him talking about doing depraved stuff like it's nothing, when the cops are pulling them out of the bar or whatever you want to call that, the club, I guess, they're saying like, you know, they're going to rape you in prison, and
yeah.
they're going to ass fuck you, and there's no condoms in prison, you're going to get AIDS. I was like, God, this world is just over the top. And then they get in the taxi cab with the guy when they're kind of going back, and he's like, I can't remember. I think they say something like, I'll choke you with my dick or something. Yeah. I was like, what is going on in this world?
It's so weird. But just like, I don't know, just imagine getting in a taxi. I'd be like, okay, take me to the rectum.
The where? The rectum! What's more funny, and this is, again, another small moment that thinking back on it makes me laugh more than when it actually happened, because it kind of, I noticed it right at the end, because there's so much stuff going on that trying to make sure I'm following the story with the subtitles was sometimes catching me. But he says, where am I taking you to or whatever, and he's kind of already pissing the guy off, and he's like, the rectum. And then I don't know which one of them it was because of it, I don't know which one said it. I'm just reading subtitles that are coming a mile a minute. But one of them's like, yeah, everyone knows where that's at. And it was, I read it in like the tone of sarcasm, because I think about my town. And if you ask somebody in my town, if you're like, hey, let's go to the shoot, they'd be like, what, where? And it's like, yeah, the gay bar. Everyone knows about the gay bar.
Yeah.
clearly, that's not true.
Yeah, it was, the scenes between the two like big events or whatever was really interesting, the way, I don't know, because you didn't really know what was going on. It was so, because it was told in reverse, you just know they killed somebody and now they're trying to get to where they killed somebody. Obviously it's in reverse, but they're just like going crazy and running up and down the streets and yelling at hookers and shit. Like, it was pretty intense.
Dude, it is, but it's intense in a way where you have no fucking clue what's going on.
Yeah, it's a lost intensity almost.
I don't know if I'd say that, but it's just, Chris, like, what would you say was, let's cut the rape scene, right?
Yeah.
Before that, I know that the camera work was making you sick.
Yes.
If you, I guess, can you put a finger on what it is about the movie prior to when you kind of just said, fuck it, that was making you not want to stick with it?
It didn't make itself clear. I couldn't tell what was happening. I'm not normally a big don't say certain things, but there was just an uncomfortable amount of faggot and
yeah, it was rough.
All this kind of stuff. It's one of those things where it's like I just didn't understand it, and it was to the point where it was just like it felt like the movie was trying so fucking hard to be different, and it was just annoying the shit out of me. And then nothing that the movie did entertained me the whole time. From that beginning scene with, I guess, the pedophiles, I got to imagine, talking about fucking their daughters. Like, from that scene on until I stopped watching, is just not an entertaining movie to me. It's like, okay, why is he attacking this random trans girl? Like, why is he attacking this person? Why is he yelling at the cab driver? Like you understand, like, what's going on, that he's desperate to find someone.
But since you have no context to what it is, it's hard to want to...
Right.
I shouldn't say root for him, but it's hard to give him any kind of, like, well, I understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the weird thing. Like, if you watched the movie in reverse order, by the time he got there, you'd be like, this is crazy, and I don't agree with what he's doing, but I understand how he's lost his mind to get to this point.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that, like, if my girlfriend, like, wife, I don't know, are they married? I don't know. I didn't watch the movie. But...
this movie made no sense.
I did watch half.
Nothing was cleared up.
Well, you guys just told me that the one scene I had the biggest issue with wasn't cleared up.
Oh, I know. I was just gonna do it.
I know. But that's part of it. Like, that's why I think it would have worked better in the right order, because then by the time you get to that part, it's like, okay, I understand what's going on and why you're acting this way. But sure. At the beginning of the movie, I was like, yo, this guy fucking sucks, and I don't want to watch this.
Yeah, I think pretty much all of the characters were just, like, really shitty. She wasn't, obviously. I mean, she didn't have enough screen time to be shitty, and after the rape, she was... All three of them were nice and, like, cool or whatever, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, the first half of the movie, everyone's garbage. Them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I think that...
Well, I don't know. Pierre, I have a little bit of a feeling for, because, like, he's just trying to... It's like definitely like outside of the thing where he's bashing the guy's skull in, all you're seeing him doing is trying to de-escalate
that's
the situation.
Fair. That's true. Yeah.
I actually feel like Pierre is my homie throughout most of this. I'm just like, Pierre is constantly trying to keep shit together, but he's also still understanding of the situation and has his own inkling of feelings, but he's trying to find a way to keep it together, but also support his friend. It's weird, but in a way that I felt like was actually rather human.
Sure. I too think that, and I've had this conversation recently with multiple people, my mom included. She watched, after I told her to watch it, the Three Billboards movie. Chris, I know you've seen that one.
Yes, I love that
one. That one and also Dragged Across Concrete are movies that a lot of people have hated because the characters are like racist and shitty and just bad people. But I think... And I'm not saying you're saying this, Chris, so don't get this wrong, but it is interesting that you brought it up because I've had so many of this conversation. It's like, it's important for movies to have shitty characters, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, these characters are not all of them. Like, Pierre, like you said, was pretty decent, but they're garbage, but there are garbage people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think if everyone was perfect in every movie, it would be very boring very quickly.
Right. The problem isn't that they're bad people. It's that there's no explanation as to why.
Sure.
Because that's the thing. Like, speaking specifically about Three Billboards, I don't want to necessarily spoil it, but there's one character in there who is a bad dude throughout the movie, but there's at least a reason. It's not a good reason.
Yeah, but it's still motivation.
But it's a reason. Whereas in this movie, It's just, where are all the faggots? Where's this faggot? Where's that faggot? Why are you a tranny? What's going on with the, I guess I won't say the racial slur, but like, it's like, why?
Yeah.
You know?
No, for sure. It doesn't seem fitting. And I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the other thing about this conversation in particular is like, you get in these weird things where sometimes, and I'm only saying this because I'm not saying that they are good characters. I should say that because of the way that we end up utilizing words, I clearly know what you meant, but it's like people who are bad people who happen to be characters are not bad characters,
right?
Most of the time they're good characters that are bad people.
Yeah,
and good, that's well the interesting
bad
thing
characters.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. You can have actually really great characters that are the worst people on earth, but they're developed in a way that makes you understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
They are clearly bad. You know why they're bad, and you have the framing of everything you need. But it'd be kind of like, I don't know, it'd be kind of like watching the Harry Potter movies in reverse order. You'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
See, I think I have a more, maybe this will make sense, but this is kind of the way I'm feeling about it, right? Is, imagine if this movie was a Batman movie, except you didn't know why he was doing the things he did.
And then at the end, he's a kid, all of a sudden his parents die.
Right. It's like you get through this whole movie of just this dude beating on people.
Yeah.
And he's dressed as a bat. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So essentially, watch The Dark Knight in reverse.
Yeah, the trilogy.
Sure, yeah.
I would say the trilogy. Just watch The Dark Knight specifically in reverse.
Well, I don't like watching bad movies, but
Jesus.
The thing, I don't know. It's just like,
no, I gotcha.
Whatever.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing. I just think that if I had watched this movie in the opposite order, I think it would just feel like every rape revenge movie. You know what I mean? It happened much later, obviously, because if you watch in reverse, it doesn't happen for like, what, 50 minutes or 55 minutes? But whenever, like with most of them, like Spit on Your Grave and Last House on the Left and stuff, they happen like within the first 5 minutes. So it's a little bit different. But still, I just feel like it would fall again into that category of like, oh, here's a rape exploitation movie where the woman is raped just for the plot, just for the men to be badasses and like kill somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. But that, I don't like that argument in general either. Like everything needs motivation.
Sure.
Yeah. So here's my question of the night for both of you, because it was lingering on my mind the entire time. Right, as soon as credits rolled, do you think this movie
credits rolled
was
in the beginning?
Shot? But I should say at the end when it does the same.
Yeah,
right,
I got you. Where it gives everyone epilepsy.
Yes, dude. I'm clearly
like
not epileptic at all, but I was like, "This is too fucking much." And see, it's interesting.
I don't
Chris,
have epilepsy.
About the camera,
I had a
right?
fucking seizure.
The camera work is 99% normal after the rape scene. Like, there's a couple of spots where they kind of do the floating.
It rotates
just because it's one take, but it's not nearly what it is at the end, right? And then suddenly at the end, it's just the camera spinning. And then it becomes solid white, and then it just starts fucking strobe light flashing for like a minute straight.
Yeah, I don't get that. Because even if it was in the opposite order, why would it be flashing? I don't know.
Yeah. So, but my question that came to my mind as soon as that happened is, do you think this movie was shot with the intentions of being edited in this order, or do you think this movie was shot for the original order, but then somewhere along the way, be it through crowd, like, you know, focus testing, or because people who were involved with the movie didn't like it very much from the front way, like, do you think that this was like a thing that they stumbled into because people didn't like it when it was originally put together and it's, you know, chronological order?
I think the script,
or is it always intended to be done this
I
way?
I think the script would have had to have been written this way.
See, why? And the reason I mainly say that is, like, literally, you could film this entire movie sequentially. Not that you would, but you could. And then you could edit it still be this way.
Yeah, maybe.
And nothing
I'm
would change.
To think, like, the script.
And that's why,
like,
the question
language,
came to mind.
How would, like, what would change? And I guess nothing would have to. I don't know.
Well, I guess
nothing would have to.
The only example I can give of that is, I know we disagree on this. There's a entire spoiler cast on Triangle Squared, Brett's PlayStation podcast about The Last of Us 2 that me and him did together, where you can hear our thoughts about the game. But
it's
I'm not an asshole. my point is that when they were making that game, they didn't know the order of the game.
Sure.
And they've talked about that. So that's the same issue that you would have here. And at the very least, they may know what they're doing. No, I'm going to take that back. They don't know what they're doing, but at the very least, there's some coherency to it.
I don't think you could do a movie without knowing how it would end. I don't think you could start it. I mean, I guess there are script changes and stuff, you know, throughout that could change the ending, but I don't think, I don't know, because it's so different than making a video game, you know?
Yeah, to me, this is an hour and a half, right? And even if you shoot it one way and then you think, well, you know what? Editing could completely change the way that this movie is given to the viewer, be it for better or worse, but it would make it unique, again, for better or worse.
Yeah.
So, whereas, I mean, I get what you mean, Chris, on that, but I think the difference between a game is that it's something that's constantly being made. Sometimes changes have to be made due to not being able to do what you were wanting to do, and it's also so much longer. You know, you're talking about a 35-hour game or a 30-hour game, whatever it ended up being.
Right, but that's the thing is, like, when we again, go listen to that conversation, but I think that game needed to be edited differently. So it's the same argument.
You're right. But I think that one would need to be understood. Like, I think that there's a stronger argument that they probably should have known exactly how they were going to do The Last of Us more than this movie needed to know exactly how it was going to be edited.
Right. I guess my point is, like, you can't just do scenes and then be like, okay, well, this goes here, and I guess this will work here, which is kind of what it feels like, you know?
I guess I'd feel that way if this was more of like a Cloud Atlas, where it's like you have a bunch of interweaving storylines that are hopping back and forth between time. But since this movie is essentially just the movie in reverse events of order, you could have filmed this and then decided to make this change, and it would have done nothing to – you would have had to not plan it in filming at all, because all you're doing is 100% editing-based. Whereas when you know you're going to be doing jumps in time a bunch, and you're going to go back at one point and then go back to the – present at one point, then you need to have a stronger understanding of where your end goal is so that you know what editing needs to be done in the in-between. Whereas, and I bring up Cloud Atlas because even though I love that movie, it's a movie that if you stop paying attention for like 3 minutes, it can completely throw you out of what the hell's happening because it's bouncing in time so often. Whereas beginning of this movie, there was actually a number of times where I found myself getting easily distracted by my phone, going off of my notes app and just fucking around on Facebook or whatever, and then looking up me and like, oh shit, and had to back, you know, I was like, I should be paying attention. So I rewind a little bit, paid attention, but it was so easy to get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the only thing here is like, I don't think that would have happened if I watched it in the reverse order. But nothing would have changed. And even if I didn't pay attention and didn't go back and look at what was happening, I still could have figured out exactly what was happening with no issue.
Sure. So,
but that was just a funny thing. I just wondered what you guys thought.
Yeah. No, like I said, I just don't know that movies... I don't know that you could... I don't know. You know, it's hard... If this was something I'd seen multiple times, I could probably think back on the script more and see if there would be a way to flip it and it still work, you know, exactly like it is now.
Sure.
So that's pretty much all I have to say on this one. Are y'all ready to go around and rate it, or does anyone have any closing thoughts? So Brett, out of 5 stars, how many stars do you give Irreversible?
This is still a movie I'm processing. Yeah. I think the fact that I ended up enjoying it by the time it was done gives it some kind of a credit.
Sure.
I'm going to give it a 3 for the time being.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty fair. There's a part of me that thinks that the highest I would go with it would be a 3.5. And I think it's just because of, even though it is a novel aspect of it, I think that the order in which they chose to do it, at least for the story that they were telling, It doesn't entirely work to rope the viewer in.
Sure. I think that the reverse nature was what roped me in more so. But, you know, what about you, Chris? How many stars out of 5 do you give it?
Half.
Incomplete.
Half star. No, I give it a half star.
A half a star. Jesus. All right.
Yes. If I could give it less, I would.
You can. You can not rate it. You DNF.
Okay. 0 stars.
DNF.
0 stars. This movie is worse than the Belko experiment.
Oh, we have a new movie to bring up.
No, because this isn't fun. This isn't fun to make fun of. This just sucks. This movie just sucked.
Yeah. You at least finished the Belko experiment.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of in the same camp as Brett. I'm a little bit higher, but when I first watched it Saturday, I thought about it for a little bit and then rated it. So I originally rated it 3.5, and I earlier today, as I was still thinking about it, I moved it up to 4, and I think that's where I'm going to stick. I think I give it 4 out of 5. But it's time to pick next week's movie. Chris, it's your turn, correct?
Yes, well, next week we're not watching a movie. We are doing a kind of a special episode. However, I do have my pick for the next week, if you'd like to hear that.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
We are going to, in 2 weeks, we will be watching my favorite movie, I'll figure that out after I watch it. But we're going to watch Training Day.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Training Day? I haven't watched Training Day in like over a decade.
Yep. It had been that long for me. Then.
Last time I did watch it. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, it's a great movie. All right, well. Yeah,
next week, for episode 30, we'll go through and just like have a conversation like about us. Like the and our, I think we're going to do top 10 movies of all time. Just, I think that sounds cool.
Yeah, top 5 movies that we give 4 stars that we'll never watch again.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
In preparation for Chris's inevitable Training Day episode, you should go check out Froggy Fresh's Denzel Washington to get yourself in the mood.
We're sponsored by Froggy Fresh this week.
I fucking wish, dude.
But all right, Brett, you want to close us out, man?
I guess I'll close us out. Thank you for joining us today on Midweek Matinee. If you like what we're doing over here, head over to our social media so that you can follow us, and you can go to Twitter, where we're at Matinee_Midweek, or you can head over to Facebook, where we're at Midweek Matinee. Also, Midweek Matinee over on Instagram if you want to check out what Blake watches throughout the weeks, because this man is a fool and watches a fool in a good way and watches so many movies. But if you want to support the show further with more than just your time, we are ever so grateful for it. But you can head over to patreon.com/Nartek and consider giving as little as $1 per month to support the show directly and get episodes of the show early. We post them on Fridays for patrons, full 5 days before other people get to listen to them. Just as a little thank you, little thank you kiss. But at the end of all of our episodes, as is tradition of all the content that we do here at Nartek, we like to give big shout outs to our patrons. And with that, I would like to give a shout out to Josh Jarrell, Matthew Green, My Name is Dan, Luke Bartolomeo, Sean Santarude, Funk Turkey, Danny Villalobos, Corey Hickerson, Blake Popes, Kevin Bacon Bits, Joshua Lago, Eric McAllister, Shadowist, Steven Salazar, The Stonard, Travis Below, Eduardo Palomino, Stefan Swanland, Constantly Kenny, Solitary Red, Chris Figgs, Zachary Sawyer, Landis, Rude Days 93, Brian, Donovan Williams, William Digital Spooker, Derek Porter, Josh Ayers, Brandon Edwards, Sean One Neo, Tyler Powers, LTB, Jason Clendenning, Tyler B., and lastly, Richard Schaefer. Again, if you would like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/Nartek. Thank you. All right, you sexy gentlemen, we've done it.
Hello, Looker, and congratulations. You have discovered the secret message. Midweek Matinee is produced and edited by Christopher Figueroa. Music is by Joshua Lago. Thank you for your support and for enjoying all these movies with us. And lastly, please send your iTunes reviews to Old Pink, care of the Funny Farm.